الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا، صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. دروشي بالله. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, for the past few sessions of Dars-e Hadith, we have been covering the principal beliefs with regarding to the Rafzi Shia sect in relation to the seerah, the biography of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an. The ulama have generally said that any community, any group of people who have this tendency to exaggerate, to exaggerate in the Arabic language means ghulu fid din, to over dramatize, to overdo something, that makes it easy for the shaitan to mislead and misguide entire communities. When a group of people have this tendency to exaggerate, to extol one's position from its own capacity. For an example, the Christians praised Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wassalam. This disease of exaggeration was in them. And they started praising and praising and praising Isa alayhi salatu wassalam, extolled his position from being a Nabi of Allah, a Prophet of Allah, an Abdullah to Ibnullah. From being the Nabi of Allah, he became Al-Iyazu Billah, the Son of Allah, according to them. And this is what happens when people, when they speak, they don't speak upright and straight, and they have this tendency to fit in a lot of other expressions also. And so you have to be very careful. And unfortunately, the same scenario with Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, that people started praising him. In fact, he himself as an individual personally, he felt the pain. And that is why when you study some of the aqwal, the statements of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, it's quite clear that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was very disappointed with the people who misjudged him in their judgment of who he really was. For an example, some of the scholars have mentioned that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, during his khilafat, would lift up his hands and he would say, Ya Allah, you are my witness. Ya Allah, you are my witness. I renounce myself from those who have exaggerated about my own character and my own personality, who have exaggerated in praising me. Just like how Isa alayhi salatu wassalam renounced himself from the Christians, that he's got nothing to do with the Christians who, aliyazu billah, have turned him into Ibnullah, On the contrary, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, at times in anger, would even curse the people who exaggerated his position. And he says, Ya Allah, may the curse be on those who have given me a character which does not befit me. Slowly from the Khalifa, they said he is the first Imam. And from Imamat, they gave him Nabuwat. And from Nabuwat, Ali Azubillah, some have even said that he has this divine power and authority and some connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. So this was difficult for Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, for himself in Medina Munawwara, to see people talking about him, these rumors that were in circulation. There was a lot of difficulty for him, and it opens the door for the shaitan. So when you start to exaggerate things, subhanallah, everything goes wrong for you. Imam Muslim rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned one narration, and he says that a man came to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, saying to him that, Hazrat, did Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam ever say something to you privately, alluding towards Khilafat, that possibly Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said something to you privately in your private gathering, only you, that you know? And Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an got very angry, and he said, let me make it clear to you that Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has never spoken to me about anything in privacy that he has not spoken to the public about. And in this narration of Imam Muslim, he says that Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an said, only four things was said to me in privacy by Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and all of the four things have got no connection with Imamat or Khilafat. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, may Allah's curse be on that person who curses his father, the one who shows no respect to the father. May Allah's curse be on that person who gives refuge to an innovator, a bidati. And may Allah's curse be on that person who sacrifices something other than in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And may Allah's curse be on that person who changes the boundary markers. Who changes the boundary markers. And he said, that is all what Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to me, and nothing more. So clearly, at every step, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an was speaking with the people, but it becomes difficult, subhanallah, when shaitan is there and your nafs is there, and you have people who don't have knowledge, and also certain individuals who promote and propagate the wrong message to the people, then it becomes extremely difficult. Ulama have even mentioned that with the Jews, it was quite common amongst them that their aqeedah was, their belief was, that aliyazu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a physical shape, jismiya. Allah has got a physical shape and a form, aliyazu billah. And this aqeedah leaked out into Shi'ism. This aqeedah also leaked out into Shi'ism. And they have this relationship. Remember, Abdullah ibn Sabah was originally a Jew. And later on he became a Muslim, and he started reciting the Kalima in front of people and pretended to be a great sheikh. And the Sabai movement, which is all connected to all of the different groups and denominations of the Shia group of people. And so, Allahu Akbar, Imam Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi says that the first man to fabricate this, that aliyazu billah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has got a physical shape, a physical form, was a man whose name was Hisham. His name was Hisham. Hisham, and he was a Rafizi Shia. He was a Rafizi Shia. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from such blasphemy and disrespect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kul huwa Allahu ahad, Allah is one. Laysa kamithlihi shay. Allah says that there is nothing in this world, nothing in the creation of Allah. Your minds cannot describe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is Allah, He is one. There is nothing before Him, nothing after Him. And our duty is only to worship Allah and to obey Him. That is it, bas. As for their aqeedah, the Rafizi Shia, with regards to the Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Majority of the Rafizi Shia believe that the Quran has been tampered with. Aliyazu billah. The Quran has been tampered with. And they say many verses of the Quran have been omitted, taken out. And these are the works of the Khulafa'i Rashideen, Aliyazu billah, Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Ali. The Quran has been distorted, and these are the works of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. They presented the Quran to the Ummah in accordance to their own desire and whims. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. That is why the Mal'oon Baqir al-Majlisi, the famous Rafizi scholar, says that 8 people are the worst in Allah's creation. What does he say? He's a Shia Rafizi scholar, Baqir al-Majlisi, that 8 people are the worst in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he starts off by saying the first is Abu Bakr Siddiq, then it's Umar Farooq, then it is Uthman, then it is Hazrat Amir Muawiyah, then it is Hazrat Aisha, then it is Hazrat Hafsa, then it is Hazrat Hind, and then it is Ummul Hakam. That these are the 8 worst from the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. And the grand Ayatullah Khomeini, the grand Ayatullah Khomeini, he says in his Kashful Asrar, in his book in Farsi, Kashful Asrar, he says that we have nothing to do with Abu Bakr and Umar, these two. In fact, even reserves himself from taking the names of the Khulafa'i Rashideen. That we have got nothing to do with these two who are toying with the Quran, the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and who make halal haram and haram halal. Who make halal haram and haram halal. Allahu Akbar. And so they say that the Quran is incomplete, aliyadhu billah. And the proof of that, they say that many verses in the Quran speak about the Ahle Bayt. Many verses were revealed to Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam in praise of the Ahle Bayt. But because aliyadhu billah, the Khulafa'i Rashideen were jealous, and therefore they omitted many verses of the Quran, aliyadhu billah. Such nonsense. Such nonsense. And they say that in Surah Inshirah, which is Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, there is one ayat kareema that is missing, aliyazu billah. One verse of the Quran which is missing. And that verse is where Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam was told that, O Muhammad, Ali is your only son-in-law, to the exclusion of Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an. That Ali is your only son-in-law, to the exclusion of Hazrat Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala. And this ayat kareema is missing. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Now, even that is wrong. That Ali is only your son-in-law. Because Surah Inshirah, this entire surah was revealed in Makkah Mukarramah. Where was it revealed? In Makkah Mukarramah. And the nikah of Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an took place after the battle of Badr in Medina Munawwara. And yet they say that this ayat is missing in a Makki surah. And then subhanallah, they say that there is one entire chapter that is missing from the Quran, aliyazu billah, which is known as the chapter of imamat, which is known as the chapter of imamat. How many chapters are there in the Quran? 114. They say there are many chapters of the Quran. And one chapter specifically is Surah Imamat. That chapter is known as Surah Imamat. And Imamat of what? The concept of the 12 Imams. In it, the names of these Imams were mentioned, and in it was clearly revealed upon Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam aliyazu billah that Hazrat Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an is the Imam, the first Imam after the demise of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But all of that has been taken away. Wala hawla wala quwwata illa billahi aliyyil azim. Now imagine, my respected brothers, when your kalima is different, when your adhan is different, when your salah is different, when your Quran is different, what is left? What is left? Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Yaqub al-Kailuni is the biggest muhaddith. Abu Ja'far, Muhammad ibn Yaqub al-Kailuni is the biggest muhaddith, and he has written a book called Al-Kafi. Al-Kafi. And this book Al-Kafi is like the Bukhari Sharif for the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat. Like how we respect Bukhari Sharif, that is how the Shia respect Al-Kafi. Written by this man Abu Yaqub, Muhammad ibn Yaqub Al-Kailuni, and he is of the opinion that the Quran is incomplete. That the Quran is completely incomplete. There are many verses of the Quran that are not there today. And so why do you read the Quran? Why do you read the Kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Wallahu alam. That is why you will hardly find amongst the youth of Rafzi Shia anyone who has memorized the entire Quran. Anyone who has memorized the entire Quran. Very few Huffaz amongst the Shia. Majority of the Huffaz will be with the Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. These are the Aqeedah. And finally, my respected brothers, much can be said with the Aqeedah of the Rafzi Shia sect. The question is that one of their fundamental, most important belief is what is known as Taqiyah. What is known as Taqiyah. Now this Taqiyah is so important to the Rafazi Shia sect that their scholars have mentioned that there is no Iman without Taqiyah. There is no Iman without Taqiyah. And what does Taqiyah mean? Taqiyah means that if someone comes to you, let me rephrase that. Taqiyah means to hide, to conceal your own aqeedah, your own belief in front of that person who differs from your belief. Who differs from your belief. So according to the Rafazi Shia sect, if a Rafazi is speaking to a Sunni Muslim, then to deceive him, to fool him is a great act of reward. So when you speak to him, you can fool him, you can argue with him. And that is why when we speak, you will hardly find any Shia that will come and say, oh no, you know, that's the truth what he is saying, that yes, we don't have no respect for the companions. In fact, they will come and they will say, what are you talking about? We love Abu Bakr Siddiq, and we love Umar Farooq, and we love Usman radiallahu ta'ala, and you know, this Imam's not right in the head. The Sunni Muslims are not right in the head. We love all of the companions. Why do you blame us? Now this is what is known as Taqiyah. Imagine how difficult it must have been for Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. In Makkah Mukarramah, the people were simple. They would come and confront Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam openly and challenge him, and they would say that we are mushrikeen. We don't believe in Allah and we don't believe in what you say, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So there is this barrier between the Muslims and the mushrikeen. But in Medina Munawwara, with the munafiqeen, it was more difficult. These were the same people who would come to the masjid for tahajjud, never mind fajr, for tahajjud. But they were munafiqeen. And they would read and stand in tahajjud with Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How difficult it must have been for Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Perhaps even more challenging than even Makkah Mukarrama. They would come, they would ask for a fatwa, but in their hearts they were munafiq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala testifies to this. إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ لَرَسُولُ. That we know that you are the Nabi, but what they say, they don't mean in the heart. They are munafiqeen. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying. And Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an entire list to Hazrat Hudhayfa radiyallahu ta'ala an, and said to him, Hudhayfa, keep all the names with you and you have the list of all the munafiqeen. Hazrat Hudhayfa radiyallahu ta'ala an would not perform the janazah of that person whose name was in that list. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had informed him that that person is a munafiq. So what the sincere companions would do is that they would look for Hazrat Hudhayfa in any of the salah, janazah salah. And if he was there, sahaba would perform the janazah salah. And if he was not there, sahaba ikram ajma'in would not perform. It was only the munafiqeen that would go. And so the same policy is adopted by these individuals. Who says we don't have love for Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq? Who says that we don't believe in the Quran? We pray in the Quran. We believe in the Quran. But this is only taqiyya. What is it called? Taqiyya. That is why the famous Sheikh, Shia Rafizi Sheikh says, whose name is Sheikh Abu Abdullah, he says to, in his one of his lectures, he says that if you hear me speak in line with the views of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, if you hear me speak in line with the view of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaat, then remember, I am applying taqiyya with them. I am applying taqiyya with them. But if I speak against them, then there is no taqiyya. So taqiyya is very important for them. Now the question is, my respected brothers, some of the people here must be wondering that, what is the logic of taqiyya? Why would you want taqiyya when you have your beliefs? As the saying goes in English, a drowning man will clutch at a straw. A drowning man will clutch at a straw. In desperation, even a straw could save his life, according to him. So he'll want to clutch at anything in desperation. The only thing that the Shias have to put a cover at their nonsense and their fallacies is taqiyya. What is it? Taqiyya and nothing else. So this will be understood when I give you an example. Obviously to the Shia, Rafizi Shia, the aqeedah is that the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Usman is invalid. That the Khilafat of Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar and Hazrat Usman is invalid. And all of the people who did bay'ah to the Khulafa'i Rashid, the three companions, all of them are disbelievers. And those who swore allegiance to them are also disbelievers. So all of them are murtad aliyazu billah according to them. Because the Khilafat is invalid. And they don't speak about this very openly, because what they do is they apply taqiyya. What do they do? They apply taqiyya in front of the Sunni Muslims. And they'll come and, you see, crying for them, it's very easy. Crying for them is very easy. They do that anyway. Now, the question is, if all of them were murtad, why did Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala do bay'ah at the hands of Hazrat Abu Bakr, at the hands of Umar, and at the hands of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala? Why did Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala accept the Khilafat of the Khulafa'i Rashideen? So what happens to Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala? If you say that all of them were kuffar, then what is the status of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala? Basmain? A very important question. And so in order to save their aqeedah, what they say is that, you see, Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala was applying the power of taqiyya, the system of taqiyya. So he was very intelligent. All of them become kuffar except for Hazrat Ali, because Hazrat Ali was only making a fool out of Al-Iyadu Billah, according to them, of the Khulafa'i Rashid. And so what he was doing, he is the Imam because he was only applying taqiyya in front of Hazrat Abu Bakr, in front of Hazrat Umar, in front of Hazrat Usman radiallahu ta'ala. And so wherever you find the Rafazi Shia, to corner them, immediately they'll take out the final card, which is taqiyya, to cover themselves. Taqiyya, ji taqiyya, everything is taqiyya for them. When you debate with them, it's taqiyya. This is what they say. And if you say to them, if Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Hazrat Umar were not the right individuals, al-iyazu billah, as the grand Ayatollah Khomeini says, we have nothing to do with these two, then why did Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala and give his daughter to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala and in nikah? And that daughter's name was Hazrat Umme Kulsum. What pressured Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an to give his daughter Umme Kulsum in the nikah of Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala an? They have no answer to that. So what do they do? Taqiyya. What do they say? Oh, but you see, all of this is taqiyya. All of this is taqiyya. So taqiyya is so important with them that if they want to debate, if they want to challenge anything, and if they want to explain the inexplicable, it's all about taqiyya. That this is just taqiyya. What Hazrat Ali did, it was just taqiyya. Just taqiyya. What our Imams did was just taqiyya. If they ever said something, it was taqiyya. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And that is why, if you were to approach many of the people, a lot of the people say that, oh, we've encountered many individuals, but they have sound aqeedah and belief. They believe in the Quran, and they believe in all of the companions. Subhanallah, if they were to believe in all of the companions, then what is this difference between Sunnism and Shiism? What is the difference? If they were to accept Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Usman, what was the issue? The issue is, my respected brothers, that the kalima is different. The aqaid is different. The adhan is different. The khilafat is different. They believe in imamat. In fact, they say that the Quran is incomplete. And Imam Mahdi, who all of a sudden, he was born in the year 255, Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Askari, according to them, is Imam Mahdi. And in the year 265 after Hijri, he disappeared somewhere. Not in the mountains, apparently in the Samarra tunnels. In the Samarra tunnels, he's disappeared. And he will come back. He will come back and he will be Imam Mahdi. And he will be the great Imam. And he will fight with all of the Sunni Muslims. Subhanallah. And he will take control of Makkah Mukarrama and Medina Munawwara. And Iyadu Billah, they go as far as saying that they will exhume the bodies and throw out Iyadu Billah, the bodies of Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq and Umar radiallahu ta'ala an from Medina Munawwara. This is the aqeedah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us, my respected brothers and elders. Sometimes what happens is that it's difficult to even comprehend. Why? Because we have not opened up. We have not made a thorough research. We have not understood what is right and what is wrong. And the only reason why we speak of this is that alhamdulillah, as Sunni Muslims, we are educated. We are educated of our history. And especially when we speak about the Khilafat of Hazrat Ali radiallahu ta'ala an, it's important that we understand this split between the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at and the Shia sect, and from amongst the Shia sect, especially the Rafazi Shia sect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq that we have a clear understanding, and Allah save us from such filth of anyone who says that the Quran is incomplete. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيِّ الْعَظِيمِ. the very first verse of the Quran, Hafiz Farooq Sahab, which is the first verse of Surah Baqarah. Bole jaldi, Alif Lam Mim, and then after that, you see Mushtaq, Zalik al Kitabu, translated that there is no doubt in this Quran. There is no doubt in this. The first ayat of the Quran, Allah says, La Raib. There is no doubt in this Quran. And anyone who doubts the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Hudallil Muttaqeen, Allah will not guide them. Allah does not guide them. That is why Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayh, Allah give him jazai khair. He gave an open fatwa. What a mardim mujahid he was. Subhanallah. These were great scholars. Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal said to the people that if you see anyone who speaks negatively about Sahaba-e Kiram ajma'een, then one must doubt his iman. Then one must doubt his iman. These were great fuqaha, great fuqaha. And many of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'at don't have a sound understanding what is right and what is wrong. You'll find many people in the subcontinent who call themselves Sunni Muslims, but they will do exactly what the Shias do. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq, especially in the month of Muharram and in Jumu'ah. This was also explained. Allah give us all the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Muhammadin nabiyil ummi wa ala alihi wa sallim taslima. Allahumma taqabbal minna wa tub alayna innaka anta at-tawwabur rahim. Sami'na wa ta'ana gufranaka rabbana wa ilayka al-masir bi rahmatika ya arhamar rahimin.